This is an OSV Podcasts production. To learn more about OSV Podcast Network, visit osvpodcasts.com.
Icon Ministry presents the Catholic Influencers Podcast. Join me, Alyssa Aegis, and my co-hosts,
Father Rob Gallia,
Justine Hughes,
and Augie Angersano,
as we break open the Sunday Mass readings and explore relevant topics and life issues from a Catholic perspective. For a shorter and more reflective explanation of the Gospels, be sure to check out our sister podcast, Catholic Influencers, Father Rob Gallia Homilies.
Well, hello, everybody. Thank you for joining us for episode 4, season 11.
Powering through.
Holy Week.
Special week.
Very special week.
It is the holiest of weeks.
Holy.
That's why it's called Holy Week.
And a busy week for me in the parish and a busy week for all of us. You're in choirs as well. You're doing choirs.
Yes. The parish I attend is doing a group choir this year. And so I get to play for the whole, all the liturgies, which I'm looking forward to doing. I've only ever done like one or one or the other, or just attended in the congregation. But this year, playing for all three.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So that is a busy... So all the Triduum, or all three in one day?
No,
the Triduum.
Holy Thursday, Good Friday and Easter Sunday. And you know what I'm excited for? When everyone goes home on Holy Thursday.
Why?
Because I'm in Japan.
So it'll be like a nice time of like quiet prayer.
Oh, very nice.
The altar of repose.
Yes, that's so nice. And the procession of the Eucharist, and then we get to sit on the side. And I usually stay there till about 10 o'clock at night.
Oh, how special. You know what I'm thinking? If you're listening to this and you have no idea what we're talking about because you've never been a part of a parish's Easter Triduum, I just recommend pick a parish closest to you, even if you've never been. Hot tip, maybe get there a bit early so you get a car park. And just commit to the Triduum. So the Holy Thursday, Good Friday, and I really love the Easter Vigil. So
it's actually one liturgy. So you make the sign of the cross at the beginning and you get the blessing at the end of Easter Saturday Vigil.
Hence the one choir.
It's the one choir.
It all makes sense.
That's why. I was thinking, like, hold it, listen to me. Only to me.
But if you guys can't make it somewhere physically, here at Icon Ministry, we do have some Holy Week events, including all of those liturgies.
Online.
Where can you find them? At iconministry.com/events. If you head to our social media, we'll have a timetable with all the different events that we've got this week. So much prayer to enter into. It's
really
beautiful.
If you can get there in person, of course, get there in person. But for those, we like this week, I got an email from someone who's bound in a hospital as well. Like a lot of people wouldn't be able to get to the Mass if it wasn't for the online Masses, so I'm grateful for that. Did I hear someone shout in the background? Or am I imagining? Because I'm wearing headphones, so I can't hear anything.
Someone making a sheep noise just outside the studio. So.
Maybe it'll be edited out. But I'd say 50% of our studio is soundproof. The other 50%, we can hear sheep.
Or rain. The rain actually stopped just in time for this episode filming. So,
that's good. Let's listen to our sponsors.
Thank you for journeying with us in seeking the Lord today. If your soul thirsts for more spiritual nourishment and resources, we invite you to church online at Icon Ministry. Immerse yourself in online Mass, prayer opportunities like the Rosary and the Divine Mercy Chaplet, Eucharistic adoration, uplifting worship music, and more. You can also share your prayer requests and commit to praying for others. Experience a depth of love and understanding of Christ and His Church through Icon Ministries Church Online. Visit iconministry.com/church online to start your journey today.
Wonderful. Well, why don't we kick off with a prayer before we dive right on in to breaking open the gospel. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus, we just thank you so much that you want to be close to us. Lord, in this time, we really pray that you would open our eyes, open our hearts and our ears in ways that we have not yet, to really get a glimpse of the truth of who you are and what that means for our life today. So just pray over all those who are tuned in, all those who are listening, wherever they are, however they are, that today, God, you would break into their lives, especially during this Holy Week. Amen.
Amen. So the upcoming Sunday gospel. There's a few options that your parish can use this week, but we did choose the gospel for the Easter Saturday vigil. So we're trying to cover all the gospels. And this week it's Mark 16, verses 1 to 8. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so they might go out to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, "Who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. "Don't be alarmed," he said. "You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him just as he told you." Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled from the tomb. They said nothing to anyone because they were afraid.
Amen. I just can't help but think with salami with the spices.
I went there. Did I get it right?
Yeah, you said it right.
Oh, because I saw you flinch and I thought I got it wrong and it's so embarrassing. Okay, good.
Salami with the spices. But yeah. You said it right. But it just
Look, I did think of that as well.
I really hope the listeners are following along. Otherwise, we're just laughing at ourselves.
We're recording at dinner time, and we're hungry, and we're all Mediterranean background, so we want the salami with the spices.
Oh gosh!
But how awesome is that? Just honestly, a testament to the power of women in the gospel, in the building of the kingdom of God, which is quite interesting because, women didn't have much of a voice, right?
They didn't. Actually, in Jewish law, women were considered ineligible to serve as witnesses because they were considered to be quite untrustworthy. And so I think what this shows us, the fact that Jesus is speaking to these women first and giving them the commission to go and speak to the apostles, Peter and the other disciples, who, let's remember, a couple of days earlier, they weren't at the foot of the cross. They fled. It was the women who stayed. Mm. I think Jesus is showing us here that women do have a special role in evangelization, in the church. And that's not to discount to say that we're better than the men who have that role. It's just that it's different, but just as important.
And I think we miss out a lot of the voice of God if we silence the women as well. So, it's even just what is happening also in history. You know, the men in the pews have fled in many parishes, and it is the women that have stayed. And we're grateful, so grateful for the power of the women. But not only that, they were the first, the very first to experience the resurrection. They were the first to witness the resurrection. It wasn't the disciples, it wasn't the apostles, it wasn't Peter, it wasn't Paul. It was these women that were the very first that Jesus entrusted with the witness of the resurrection. And they were the first to proclaim it as well. They ran back to the apostles, and they were the first to proclaim it, not to the people of the world, but to the clergy, so to speak. Mm. They were the first to proclaim it to a church that was supposed or is close to Jesus. So how, as a priest, I'm so grateful for the women in my parish as well. You know, I'm so grateful for example, even the sensitivity of women. You know, I work in a hospital. I'm chaplain to a hospital as well as part of my parish ministry. And it's always the women in the parish that say, "Father Rob, can you go to this parish? This person has this need, and this need. Make sure you mention this, because sometimes you're a bit too harsh when you speak to say this. Be careful with this." And I'm so grateful because, you know, somehow they also equip me in proclaiming the gospel. So I'm probably deviating from where I... It happens in the ministry, mind you, as well.
I think you made the point.
But this is, again, so grateful for these powerful experiences that these women had.
I think this scripture is just really cool to highlight the flip that Jesus does, like in his own identity, but also what that means for us. And, you know, we hear the angel say the words like, he who was crucified is now risen, you know, and Jesus was crucified beyond all doubt. They all saw it. They all felt it. They all kind of That was it. That was the closing of the book for people. So he was dead as dead. But now he is risen. There was who he was and now who he is and the state of who he is. And for me, this is cool because I think it speaks about a reality that's opened up to us as well. You know, we have an identity of who we were before we encounter the fullness of who mm-hmm. Jesus is, the fullness of the resurrection, which is this relationship with Jesus. There was someone who we were before, but then there's a reality of who we are in light of encountering this resurrected Jesus. You know, before encountering Jesus, you know, we were lost, but now we are found. You know, before Jesus, we were bound by death, but now we are set free into eternal life. Before Jesus, we were condemned, but now we are redeemed. Like, this is a definitive reality that is only made possible by the resurrected Christ, who was dead, but is now alive. Mm-hmm. Like, that means something for us. And I think that's just a powerful reminder, especially this week.
And you're saying, like, he was dead. Mm-hmm. He wasn't just hiding. He wasn't hibernating. He wasn't sort of in a coma. He was really finished.
Mm-hmm.
Finished. And with that, with the finishedness comes an end. For the disciples, it had ended. Hope had ended. For those who held on to the promise, who knew that something was coming, they didn't quite understand what was coming. But certainly in the lives and the minds of the apostles, there was this hopelessness as well as hope. But there must have been this sense of defeat.
Mm.
You know, this, oh, I've given my life to Jesus. I've given my time to Jesus. I've given my energy to Jesus. And now, nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. It's just this dead body here. And they would have been just thinking how they're going to spend the rest of their lives. In fact, Peter, what did Peter do? He went fishing. He went back to his old job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the other apostles went with him. And so there was an end. But when the new beginning comes, and this is how I am, like, in my life, I'm in my 40s, okay, and so I start to think, okay, God's work is done. I've done all of this work for the Lord. I've served the Lord. The best is behind me. But whenever I think that, you know, I have these resurrection moments, these mm. revelations that, oh my goodness, that the best is yet to come. The mm. biggest things. This week, we're launching a video game. Can you imagine? This, for me, is a resurrection moment. You know, mm-hmm. we're launching a video game to reach 70 million young people a day. Who would have thought a 40-year-old would be heading a team that and a ministry that is reaching to an alpha generation that 13 years ago, when I was already a priest, didn't even exist, and now we're going and are at the very forefront of something like this. Now, okay, this is a selfish thing to think, but this is a resurrection moment. Resurrection moments are those moments where we sometimes die to live anew.
Mm.
I don't know if you have these moments in your life where sometimes, even those who are listening, those are moments where you think, okay, God is done with me. And then just before you know it, the biggest thing happens. It's always those resurrection moments. And that's, I think, God allows us to die to show us that He is the one who resurrects. He is the one who gives life. It's not by our might, it's not by our power, but by the Spirit of God that raises, that has raised Jesus from the dead.
Absolutely. And I think this scripture just gives us such hope. I think of the song, it's Friday is good because Sunday is coming, right?
Yeah.
And this is that hope, that Sunday is coming. Again, you might be in that season where you feel like you're in that at that end, but just hold on, because this gives us the hope that Jesus, the one who does have the power to do that, is going to make all things new. And it's going to come in a way that you totally don't even expect. And we see that here. The women and the disciples, they weren't prepared for the resurrection, even though Jesus had told them it was going to happen, right? I think when you were in these seasons of utter darkness and utter despair, people can say all of these things, which is great to hold on and keep that hope, but it can be really hard to believe it. And then it hits you out of nowhere, and then everything starts to make sense, mm-hmm. right? This is that hope. This is that hope that Sunday is coming.
Yeah, and it's alive. The resurrection it was then and now. Like, it is. It's still available. Like, the reality is not going to close, or it's not going to, there's no expiry date on it. And so this week especially, and I'm speaking to myself here, is this, you know, particularly as we sort of have a liturgy rich and a ritual rich week, is just this reminder, don't just go through the motion. Don't just celebrate the resurrection. Make a response to the resurrection this week. You know, don't just let it happen because it's that time of the year again. Respond to this reality that is available to us every single day, the resurrecting power. So this week, like, how are you going to let the resurrection change your life? Mm-hmm. As you attend, hopefully, you know, the celebrations of this Holy Week, how are you going to respond? Are there parts of your life that feel really dead that you need to hand over, that you need to allow God to resurrect, and do that? Make a response this week to the resurrection.
And it continues on. Like, as you were saying that, I'm just thinking, gosh, we put a lot of focus into Lent. What am I going to do to grow closer to the Lord during Lent? I'm going to do all of these things, right? And as soon as Easter happens, it's like all of that kind of just trickles off. But it's even in the liturgy. Like, it doesn't just end on Easter. Like, the season of Easter is longer than the season of Lent. So let's really live, live that out.
And just to clarify, the season of Easter goes for 40 days. Of 50 days, 50 days after after Easter Sunday unto Pentecost, right? Yeah. So this is, it is a long Easter season.
Get ready to party.
That's right.
Yeah, that's right. A long one. I love it.
But in all of this, we don't need the answers. Here's the thing. How am I going to live in the resurrection? How am I going to live in that place of breakthrough? How am I going to live in that place of hope? Sometimes we don't have the answers. It's not just, okay, I'm going to decide to live in hope. Okay, I'm going to decide to live in the peace that God gives me. Sometimes all it takes is to take those spices and salami to God. And just go, God, this is all I have. The spices and the salami. This is all I have. And this is what Salome and Magdalene and Mary did. They went to the tomb with the spices. And they were about to face a closed tomb. They were about to face an impossible situation. The tomb was closed. How were they, as these women, going to move the stone of that tomb? It would have been impossible. But they didn't need all the answers. All they needed was the willingness and the hope, the little they had. They have, you know, we last season we talked about pickled fish. You know, that's all we have. That's all we have. This littleness of what we are, this lack of answers, this lack of resolution, this lack of resources. Here I am, Lord, and this is what I come to you to come to this place of resurrection. And then you take this and you give me that resurrection moment with the little I have to offer.
Absolutely. And when you have that moment, what do you do with that? What's your response going to be? We can't keep quiet about it. So what happens to the women here? The women, they flee from the tomb and they're scared to tell anyone about what they've seen, right? But it's not a fear out of fright. It says they're afraid, but there's in the translation we read today, but it's, I think it's a bewilderment and like just overwhelmed and in awe, right? And it's funny because we know that throughout Mark's gospel, there's this big thing called the messianic secret, right? Where Jesus didn't really he didn't want people to know that he was the Messiah. Whenever he healed them, he would say, don't say anything to anyone, and people wouldn't listen to him. And now when it's time to tell people about it, the women are quiet. Quite funny, hey? What's your response going to be?
That's right. And so, again, what is our response always with this resurrection moment? Don't let this resurrection moment pass by this Easter season without doing anything. Let this be a life-changing moment. It's up to you. It's up to you just to take the spices, to take with the little you have, the lack of answers you have. Just say, Jesus, here I am. Here's my moment. Here is my excitement because I believe in you. I believe that you are a God of breakthrough. You are a God of the resurrection.
100%. So we spoke today about how women in this gospel were the apostle to the apostles, and women have a great role in ministry. And as you know, this season we've been having, Augie has been doing interviews with some really incredible people, and today is no different. We are very blessed to be joined by Katie McGrady, who is a woman, she's a mum, she's married, she's doing some incredible work in the church, and I'm really looking forward to hearing her chat with Augie. So that's coming up after this.
In the heart of our ministry lies the generosity of our Icon Ministry partners and donors. It's because of you that our online masses, courses, podcasts, TV programs, school, youth, and parish outreach efforts extend their reach to millions of people worldwide. Your ongoing support allows us to spread the love of Jesus and his message of hope far and wide. Please prayerfully consider joining us in this mission, whether through a one-time donation or as an ongoing ministry partner. Your contribution makes a world of difference. Together, let's illuminate every corner of the earth with his love. Visit iconministry.com/support to learn more. Hey everyone, this is Augie from the Catholic Influencers podcast. I have another incredible guest with us today, Katie McGrady. She is an amazing speaker. She runs a radio show on Sirius XM. She's on the Hilo app. She's everywhere. And I've had an amazing opportunity to, a few years back, I don't know if you remember, in Tampa Bay, I got to meet you when you, I believe you had your first child, Rosie, at the time.
Yeah.
And since then, you've, you know, you have two kids now, and you're, you know, you're just doing your thing, and it's really awesome to see. So thanks for jumping on the podcast.
Happy to be invited. Thanks so much.
Yeah, no worries. Before we get into the topic that I wanted to ask you, I just wanted to just comment that, you know, I've gotten to see Katie speak twice now. And, the last time was at ACYF in Perth here in Australia. And I always, you know, I speak to people who kind of do what you do. And, you know, I personally, I'm fascinated by, the art form of comedy. And I just find, you know, the people who are at the top of their game of speaking and doing what you do, I feel like you're an evangelist, you're a great communicator of the gospel, but you could almost put comedian on your, you know, on your resume as well. And, you know, it's such a gift to be able to, just look fully comfortable in your own skin when you're on the mic and when you're in front of camera and when you're in front of people. And, I think, you do that incredibly well. And, does that come naturally? You know, did you just like naturally step into this role of, you know, just a powerhouse comedian evangelist, or is it something that you kind of had to learn along the way?
I appreciate that compliment. I was a really awkward kid because I liked to read, and I was kind of nerdy and introverted, and I was a Lego kid, and like, you know, Lego girls were not a real, they're a thing now, but like in the 90s and the 2000s. So I very much would use comedy as like a defense mechanism at times. Like if I could be the funny one in a group of friends, or like the funny one in a class, not like like the class clown, but just like the one that could make like a pithy remark, then I could kind of fly under the radar with my awkwardness, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
There came a point in college. I went to the University of Dallas in Irving, Texas, and there came a point in college.
I went there for a couple years as well.
You did. You played baseball there.
Yes, I did.
And okay. I've talked about it a few times. Go Groundhogs. And I was in college and I had a professor who pulled me aside, Father James Lehrberger. And he was this old Cistercian who would like smoke two packs of Marlboros a day. Like he was just like completely himself.
Yeah.
And he pulled me aside after I took a philosophy education with class with him when I was a freshman. So like way early, I should not have been able to take this 3-hour senior seminar, but I somehow got into the class.
Yeah.
And he pulled me aside after class one day and he said, you are smart, but I don't think you know it. And you are clever, but I don't think you know it. And it's time somebody told you. And that was like, it was a huge turning point of, I was very uncomfortable in my own skin and realized I could be funny and I could be clever and I could be witty about things without using it as a defense mechanism or without using it to hide, but just to actually be myself. And I think in speaking, especially on a stage, and I remember that Perth event because it was like, what, a 12-minute talk? It was very quick. It was like a TED talk.
Yeah.
And I told a story that lands really well in America. And I used words that I don't think mean either the same thing or like have no meaning whatsoever in Australia, like potty and TT, which like it's like, and but they still laughed and like the audience still paid attention. But I distinctly remember being like, oh, I should probably have checked that. So anyway, that's a long drawn out answer to say, like, I think you have to be an authentic version of yourself in any type of stage ministry. And yeah. I also want to say, you know, the comics that I like the most, the ones that I like to watch the most, Mike Birbiglia, Jim Gaffigan, John Mulaney, all happen to be Catholic. Yeah. A couple of them lapsed, but like Jim Gaffigan still practices.
Yeah.
And what I find is like from the Catholic sensibility can come a humor driven perspective on the world to where you can incorporate some of those witty observations into a talk, into storytelling.
Yeah, absolutely. No, that's 100% true. I agree with all of that. So what I wanted to bring up today and just kind of bring to the audience to just kind of chew on and discuss is just the topic of, balancing parent life and ministry, or if you want to switch ministry with career, but I don't, that's your call if you think it's totally different or if it's, if you kind of consider it the same. But how has that been for you? You are a very you're very adamant about raising your children in the Catholic faith and being there for them and being a good wife, being a good mother, and yet you are doing so much with your ministry. And so how does that what's the tug and pull inside of your heart, mm-hmm. and how does that go for you, and just kind of internalizing that?
Yeah, great question. I think I always introduce myself as wife and mom first. And I had a conversation with a friend recently who said, like, if you had to introduce yourself and not say anything about your career, what would you say? And I was like, well, I would say that I'm Tommy's wife and I'm Rose and Claire's mom, because that's the first component of my identity. And then I, obviously daughter of God, the whole faith component. But like wife and mom is first and foremost who I am and who I'm meant to be in this world at this phase of my life and their life. And I think being a mom makes me better at my job, and being in my job, especially the career in radio that I have, makes me a better mom, because they can, there's a symbiotic relationship between like how I serve my family, how I love my kids, how I'm forming them. And then what I'm doing in terms of talking on a radio for 10 hours a week live is they fit together, whether it's stories for my kids that make it to the radio or even just like figuring out how to explain something to an audience that cannot see my face, like purely just upon the power of my words to be able to articulate something so that I can explain things to my children. And I'm happier when I'm working. And I think my kids get a happier, healthier mom when I have a pursuit of a career. But then also recognizing that like that career, I have said no to things. I have turned things down in order to be able to be more fully present to my children. So I'll give you a perfect example. I work for SiriusXM, who is based out of New York.
Yeah.
And SiriusXM wants me to come to New York far more frequently than I do. They're perfectly happy. Like, we all work remotely, actually. All the hosts are no longer in studio. That's kind of a COVID thing, but like most of us then realized we could do good radio from our homes and still tuck our kids in at night and still be able to cook dinner.
Yeah.
There's a lot of opportunities that come up at SiriusXM headquarters where I could hop on a plane and be in New York and have like this really cool like hobnob with big wigs and do this really crazy stuff that I would never have believed 5 or 6 years ago. And I turn a lot of that down.
Yeah.
For the sake of, I need to be more present to my kids. I only say yes to 2 or 3 speaking things a month, and one of them has to be local. I try not to do too many back-to-back things because my kids are so little that that's really important. And that's a discernment process, figuring out that balance. But I think that that makes my ministry better. Because I'm only saying yes to that one gig or that 2 gigs a month. Those gigs are going to be the very best that I can possibly make them. I'm not going to New York for all of these in-studio things. So then when I do get to go, we make it really, really fruitful. And everyone wins. Mom and dad are able to be fulfilled in their careers. Kids see mom and dad doing really good at their jobs, but also know that mom and dad chose them first.
Yeah.
And that's just, I mean, my kids are on the other side of this wall from where I'm sitting. This is my in-home studio. My daughter's bed is on the other side of the desk, on the other side of the wall.
Awesome.
And that's really cool to me that my kids see me getting to do my job, and then that I also get to turn the job off and be fully present to them.
Yeah.
And the Lord really does provide a lot of, I think, grace in being able to make those judgments and decisions.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I think especially, in my own creative pursuits, a lot of people don't really understand that, me being a family man, me being a husband, me being a father has not squandered my heart or my ability to create, but it's only enhanced. And especially it's put safeguards around my vices, because now I'm not doing it for me. I'm had these other people who rely on me to get up and be the best version of myself. And so my productivity has increased with a quarter of the time that I have nowadays.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've only, you know, there's times, there's seasons where it can get difficult. But at the end of the day, when I do the math and I count it up, I find it to just only be a blessing and only be something that's just enhancing every single aspect of my life. Do you get kind of accusations from people who go, you know, how can you be doing this and being a, you know, a good parent? And the team wanted to ask, or they wanted to just bring up, you know, I'm a father, but some people were saying, you know, it's that accusation can kind of be in a different lens or even a bit more intense for the role of a mother. And so, how do you respond to that whenever you kind of are received with that?
You know, every family makes the discernment and decisions for their own unique situation. And I often say, if I don't have your cell phone number, you've never been sitting at my kitchen table, or you're not in my bedroom, then you don't get to have an opinion about really anything that I choose to do in my family or in my life.
Yeah.
But yeah, as a woman, especially as a mother, if I'm at an event, it happened back in August, I was actually at a family conference of all things. And this lady was like, well, who takes care of your kids when you're gone? And I was able to pull my phone out and say, oh, my husband actually is, he's taking him to a roller rink right now. And he's fun dad. I actually think me traveling from time to time gives my husband such great daddy-daughter time that, like, obviously, he would be a fantastic father even if I never traveled. But he shines as a solo dad and getting to do those, like, fun dad things. In the same way that when he was going through grad school, so my husband did grad school in 18 months. And he would wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning to take care of his coursework. And on Saturdays, especially Saturdays when I wasn't traveling, he would go to a coffee shop from like 8 to noon. And so we would have these mommy-daughter Saturday mornings where we would go to the Lego aisle, we'd come home and build, or we'd go to a park, or I'd take them out to breakfast. And so, like, I think it's okay for parents to have these solo one-on-one times with their children. When the accusations do come fast and furious, though, from Catholic women, especially knocking down other Catholic women, because for some reason that happens a lot.
Yeah. Wow.
I have to take it to prayer as this might be a device of the devil. Not that that person is demonic, but that sometimes the devil will try to cut you down in ways that are very sensitive and very vulnerable. And like, of course, when I get on a plane in 2 days to go to the March for Life and then have to cross country, go to Los Angeles for their March for Life the next day, and I'm spending more time on planes than I'm spending at the actual events, and I'm gone from my children for 4 nights, I'm going to feel guilty far more than you're going to be able to guilt me.
Yeah.
So it's better if we support one another. And I take that to prayer, and the Lord never fails to put people in my path on a trip that build me up in just the right way that I need to say, like, thank you for doing this in this particular way. I was at a Steubenville conference this past summer, and a young woman came up to me and she handed me a letter. And she said, there are two things in this envelope. And she said, one is for you. It's a thank you. She said, I've seen you for the past 3 summers at Steubenville conferences, and you've been a gift to me. And that was very touching. And she said, and then the other letter, and she said, like, obviously, I want you to read it first. She said, I want you to give it to your daughter, Rose, as a thank you to her for letting her mom do this.
That's awesome.
And it was such a touching moment. It's like, I can't wait to give that letter to Rose when she's a little older and she gets to read. Mommy didn't leave because mommy wanted frequent flyer miles, or because I wanted the paycheck, or because I wanted somebody to tag me on Instagram. Mommy left because Jesus invited her to do something in this particular time. And I said yes to that. And that was actually a yes from our whole family. And I always bring that to mind when those accusations, either from myself or from other people, come in, and really try to ask the Lord to kind of center me in that discernment.
Yeah. Wow. That's beautiful. Just to finish up, do you have any tips for anybody out there who is in parent life, is in family life, and is wanting, you know, has that fire within them to want to, you know, jump on a mic or just evangelize in whatever way that God's calling them to? What word of advice would you give to them?
You know, the community calls you forward, and the Lord uses you in ways that sometimes we can't even imagine. Social media has expanded so many opportunities for people to just share their circumstances, their situations, to be able to give insights into like their particular life. You don't need a Sirius XM radio show or a frequent flyer status, you know, like you have a phone and an Instagram account or Twitter, like you can do something profound. But also sometimes the best evangelization I've done in my life is not on a microphone. It is it's in my parish where I take my kids to church and like wrestle them through a Sunday morning mass. And like, we're there and we showed up, and that's a witness to the other people in the church.
Yeah.
The best evangelization is like sitting down with my kids at the dinner table. And we have this little thing on our table called the Graticube, and it's a 12-sided die, and you roll it and it tells you to say something that you're grateful for that day. Mm. And then the conversations that come forth from that. And so I think there's a desire sometimes in our heart to do these very public creative things. And that's good. If the Lord has placed that desire in your heart, pursue it, ask the Lord to open those doors. Yeah. But also like just focusing on the little and the small, that the world has changed in homes, at kitchen tables. That's where revival takes place. Mm. And to lean into that and know that the Lord can do something profound with that.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for your time, Katie. Yeah. If anybody wants to follow up and learn more about you, where should they go?
Yeah. So my Instagram and my Twitter, Katie P. McGrady. And then my daily radio show. I mean, this is a lot of folks in Australia listen to this, but I know y'all are international. But if you have an American credit card, you can get you can get SiriusXM. We are posting a lot of our clips now on podcasts, Ave Explorers, Our Sunday Visitors, Like a Mother. And then my husband and I do a little podcast on Hallow every week to help Catholic families dive into the readings, called Family Mass Prep. And that's really where everybody's like, oh, this show's so funny. And I'm always like, yeah, I write it all. My husband's very funny actor, and he delivers those lines great, but those are my jokes. So if you want to laugh, you can listen to Family Mass Prep.
Awesome. Too good. All right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
So how beautiful it is always to listen to women who are quickened, who are excited, who are passionate about the gospel. Women who are making a difference in the lives of so many people around the world against all odds. And I must say, it's not easy. And I work with a lot of women in ministry, and I see how difficult it is sometimes with the attacks that come their way for certain things that men would get away with, but somehow women get a lot of flack for a lot of things. And so even in and amongst all of this, especially mothers, you know, she's a mother and she still continues to preach the gospel with the capacity that she has. And I think it's so beautiful that ultimately this is what we have to live in obedience. And I really honor Katie. I honor also these women around me and the ones that I work with. And I'm so grateful that they also inspire people, all of us, to love Jesus and to put Jesus first. So we thank you for joining us for this podcast. We're grateful for you. I hope you get to share this podcast with other people this Holy Easter. We wish you a wonderful and a blessed Easter. If you want to follow us, you want to learn more about our podcast, our work, MetaSaint, just quick word on MetaSaint. Mm-hmm. This week, this Holy Week, this is the week we're launching MetaSaint. And this is a game on Roblox, on a platform called Roblox. Why? Because this is the week that people on Roblox need to hear about the gospel more than Amen. Any other time.
Amen.
And they are the people who are on Roblox are the ones not going to church. Mm-hmm. We're not playing the video games in the church, but we're bringing the church to the video game platform. So please pray for this project. If you want to know more about it, go to metasaint.com.
Make sure you join us for some Holy Week events that we have here at Icon Ministry. We have an exclusive prayer meeting Tuesday night with the ministry partners and our Encounter Course subscribers. We have a Divine Mercy Chaplet with Steve, Augie's dad, who you heard on the podcast a couple of weeks ago. All the Holy Week liturgies, so much going on this week. Follow us on social media, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, X, and YouTube, CatholicInfluencersPodcast.com, and we can't wait to see you next week.
And in the meantime, if your name is Salumi, we would love to hear from you.
Bring some spice. Thank you. God bless. Hallelujah. He is risen soon on Sunday.
This has been a production of OSV Podcasts. To learn more, visit osvpodcasts.com.